good to see the presence of each one of you this morning. We have a wonderful Lord's Day and had a good service, good singing, good prayers, and good Bible study. And we've been edified and built up in the church. And this morning, we'd like to study with you on the subject, God helps with our troubles. God helps you with your troubles. We know that life, as Christians, would rejoice in the Lord. Paul says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. And so the Christian life is a good life. It's the happy life. But even though it is the good life and we rejoice in the Lord, there are troubles, there are problems, there's heartaches, there's grief, and there's sorrow and sadness. We shed tears sometimes, and we shouldn't let these troubles discourage us and cause us to turn against God and blame God for our problems. Job said in Job 14 and verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. And so they were going to have many troubles, many heartaches, and many problems in this life. I was just glancing through the paper this morning. Seems like there's always a lot of bad news. Wars going on, people killing one another, and robberies, and all kinds of bad things are happening. And so man's life is short, and it's full of troubles. But God helps us to deal with our problems and our suffering and hardships that we have in this life. We know that everyone has troubles. Seems like when you're young, maybe you don't have as many problems. I'm sure you have some problems. And then as you grow older, we have more problems. And then when you get older and older, then you have a lot of health problems. So throughout life, we're going to have problems. We face problems, affliction, suffering, and hardships. And so we need the strength to endure. We need patience to endure those problems and those troubles that we have in this life. We have to bear up to those things. And so we ask these questions, why do people suffer? People don't understand why they have to suffer. Are all trials the result of our sins? Why does God allow trials and difficulties? Should we blame God for our troubles? Can troubles and suffering make us a better person? Is it possible to faithfully endure our difficulties? What does God offer to help us to overcome our problems and hardships? And so we want to consider these questions this morning in our lesson. As we said, Job said that life is short and full of troubles. We can appreciate these words when we think of the suffering endured by Job. Yes, Satan caused Job to lose just about everything that he had. All of his children died. Just think, if we lost one child, how it would grieve us. He had several sons and daughters, and they all died. He lost just about everything he had. He had boils all over his body, and so he was in great pain, but he endured those things. Different people have different problems and afflictions. It seems that some people suffer more than others. It seems that some people, one bad thing happens after another. They have many more troubles or problems, maybe, than we might have. We know by personal experience and from the experiences of those that we know that Job's statement is true. Just about every day we have some kind of trouble, some kind of problem that comes up in our life. Troubles can lead to spiritual temptations. We may be tempted to feel that our trials may justify committing sin. One might say, well, I'm having all these problems and all these troubles, and well, I might as well live in sin. We may become so discouraged that we blame God for our troubles and lose faith in Him or begin to doubt His goodness and mercy. A lot of people are in doubt and they wonder, why do all these bad things happen to people? As Job's wife told Job, curse God and die. She was so discouraged, so down, and she tells her husband to curse God and die. The purpose of this study is to offer Bible answers to questions people often ask about suffering. Why do people suffer? Sometimes people suffer as a result of their sins. We know that King Saul, he was king over Israel. He became a wicked king, and he disobeyed God, and he was killed because he had rebelled against God. In 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13 and 14, "So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse." And so Saul disobeyed God, and he died as a result of his sin. Judas, of course, killed himself because of his sins. Yes, he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, and he committed suicide. In Matthew 27, verse 3 through 5, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? You see it, you see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." And so he had committed a terrible sin, and he died because of his sin. Likewise today, we know that there's many alcoholics, and they suffer disease. Sometimes they die because of their alcoholics. They drink so much. And then there's thieves. They're being in prison. The prisons are full of thieves. They're being punished because of their crimes and their sins. Many suffer as a result of their sin, but that's not the only reason that people suffer. Sometimes innocent people suffer as a result of other people's sins. Innocent people are sometimes killed by drunken drivers. Yes, terrible things sometimes happen to good people because of the sins of others. Sometimes thieves will violently attack their victims, beat them up, maybe leave them almost dead, and they suffer as a result of that thief. Jesus is an example of one who was innocent, and yet he was persecuted and he was killed by wicked men. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21 and 22, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." And so Jesus was innocent, but he died on the cross because of our sins. Yes, we sinned and caused his death upon the cross. We can expect to be persecuted. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And so Paul says that all Christians, all that live godly, are going to suffer persecution. And so we're going to be persecuted. Paul was a good man, but he was beaten many times, stoned, and left for dead. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 and 25, he says, "Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered a shipwreck, a night and a day. Have been in the deep." And so just think of being beaten 5 different times with a whip, 39 times, 5 times. And then he says he was thrice beaten with rods, and then he was stoned and left for dead. Many times people suffer because of the sins of others. All people suffer as a result of Adam and Eve's sin. God originally placed Adam and Eve in a state of bliss, with no troubles, no problems of any kind. But when they sinned, they brought pain, suffering, and hardship, and death upon themselves and upon mankind. We're not born with the sin of Adam and Eve, but we do suffer in this life because of their sin. In Genesis 3, verse 17 through 19, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground." And so, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, all these things happened to man. Yes, hardships and grief. Some suffering is simply a temptation from Satan. Satan may tempt us, causing us to suffer. Job's suffering was a temptation from Satan. He hoped that suffering would cause Job to turn away from God. Satan caused Paul to suffer, to test his faith. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And so Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was, but it was painful, I'm sure. And he suffered that because Satan was causing that to happen. We'll be tempted, tested, and tried by Satan in this life. And so there's lessons that we should learn. That suffering is not limited to those who are wicked. Some people think that only wicked people suffer, that God is on the side of the righteous and will remove all their troubles. They think if a person is suffering, he must have committed some sin and should repent. We know that Job's friends that came to him when he was suffering, they thought that Job had sinned, and that was why he was suffering. In Job 4, verses 7 through 9, notice they said, "Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright ever cut off? Even as I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his anger they are consumed." And so here Job's friends were accusing him of sin, that was why, that God was punishing him because of that. We've learned that even the righteous people suffer. We shouldn't conclude that we've been guilty of sin when we have problems. Yes, we're going to have problems even though we may be faithful in serving the Lord. When we do sin, then we must repent of those sins. God has not promised that we will not have any problems or hardships in this life. God should not be blamed for the existence of suffering. Many people, when they have a tragedy, like the death of a loved one, they hurt so bad that they blame God. One young man, the girl that he was going to marry, was in an automobile accident and she died. And he grieved for over 5 years. He still blamed a young man for her death. And he continued to grieve for many years. And this caused him to turn against God. We've learned that all people suffer, the good and the bad. The command to endure suffering is another part of the Christian life. We should expect suffering to come, so our faith will not be shaken when it does come. And so let's not be shaken or be discouraged when suffering does come into our life. The primary blame for suffering rests upon Satan, who tempts people to sin and brought sin into the world. Also, the blame rests upon people, ourselves included, who have given in to temptation, have committed sin that led to suffering. God did create suffering as a punishment for sin, but only after he'd given people a life without problems, had warned them of the consequences of sin. Yes, he had warned them not to commit that sin, and it brought punishment. James 1, verses 13 through 15, he says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." And so God does not tempt us. God does not cause us to sin. Remember, if we blame God and reject Him because you're suffering, then you're doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. He's going to tempt you. He's going to test you. And he wants you to blame God and sin against God. Yes, he has defeated you. He has won the battle. The only way to defeat Satan is to resist him and maintain your faithfulness to God in spite of your hardships. In James 4, verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." And so we must resist the devil and draw near to God, not away from God. Can suffering have good results? We usually think of suffering as being all bad. In Psalms 119, verse 71, the psalmist said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." And so David, the psalmist, said it was good that he had been afflicted. When we suffer and remain faithful, there's favorable results that can occur. Suffering gives us opportunity to prove our commitment to God. We're proving our faith in God by being committed and obeying Him. In 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though be tested by fire, may be found in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Yes, they were grieved and with various trials, he said. It says the genuineness of your faith was being tested to the fire. As gold is purified by passing through fire, so the genuineness of our faith is proved by our trials. If Christians never suffer, then all the people in the world, they'd want to be a Christian to avoid suffering, not because they love God, not because they want to worship and serve God, but to avoid suffering. But God allows His children to suffer. The fact that Christians suffer shows that the Christian is willing to remain faithful even when it's hard to do so. In Acts 5, verse 40 and 41, Gamaliel said something and says they agreed with him. And when they called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And so here were Christians that were suffering, and yet they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Suffering causes spiritual growth. It makes us stronger and more faithful to God. In James 1, verses 2 through 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Yes, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, when you're being tempted and tried. Whoever develops patience when his patience was never tried. Yes, if we're not tested, if we're not being tried, then we cannot grow in our patience and our faith to God. In Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, "Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us." And so he says that tribulation produces perseverance. perseverance, character, and character, hope. And so these things make us stronger in the Lord, more faithful to Him. The mighty oak tree is made strong by the storms. All the storms and the winds against that oak tree makes it stronger. Our trials and tribulations will make us stronger Christians. Our muscles are made strong by lifting weights with resistance. Trials defeat some people, but strengthen others, depending upon our faith and trust in God. In Matthew 13, verse 20 and 21, he says, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Yes, some members, they don't have enough roots. They're not strong enough to stand the trials and the tribulations of this life. Suffering keeps us humble and dependent upon God. Affliction taught Paul not to trust in himself, but in God. In 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, he says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead." And so Paul tells about his difficulties, his hardships, his afflictions. But this caused him to put more faith and trust in God. Paul's thorn in the flesh was a messenger from Satan. God allowed it to remain because it kept Paul humble. We know that Joseph was mistreated by his brothers, but God used it as a means to save the family from famine. Yes, his own brothers sold him as a slave. They mistreated him. They even threatened to kill him. In Genesis 50 and verse 20, he says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." And so Joseph tells his brothers here that you meant it for evil, but God turned it around for the good of the people. Satan puts trials in our lives to harm us, but God has the power to take those problems and use them to accomplish good in our lives. Satan had Jesus put to death, but it was for our good that he died on the cross for our sins. What assurance is there that we can endure the suffering, the troubles, and the pains in this life? Or when facing hardships, we may think, "Well, I just can't hold out. It seems like one bad thing happens after another. I can't last. I can't endure it." The Bible teaches us that we can endure those things, no matter how difficult they may be. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, Paul says, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And so God won't allow our trials and our tribulations to be above what we're able to take. He says he'll make a way of escape, that we might be able to bear it. Yes, God makes a way of escape from our trials. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Just think, we're children of God. God blesses us, and nothing can separate us from God. No man, no person. In Romans 8, verse 35 through 39, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it's wonderful for us to know that none of these things can separate us from God if we remain faithful to Him. There are Bible examples of those who did endure. In James 5, verses 10 and 11, he says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endured. You've heard of the perseverance of Job, have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Yes, the prophets, they suffered, and yet they endured those things. They remained faithful to God. The Hebrew writer tells us that there's a great cloud of witnesses that endured and were faithful to God. And so as we live in this life, there's a great cloud of witnesses up there that can tell us that they were faithful. They endured. They didn't give up their faith. Abraham and Joseph and Moses and many others. What blessings will God provide to help us to endure the afflictions of this life? Well, God has promised to help us. In Psalms 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Yes, God is our refuge. He is our strength. He'll help us to endure the troubles, the problems of this life. We know the Bible helps us to endure the hardships in this life. When we read the Word of God, it encourages us. There are certain scriptures that are very encouraging when we're down. In Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Yes, the scriptures will comfort us and strengthen us. The scriptures help us to understand why we suffer, that good can come from our suffering. Also, prayer and worship helps us to endure our afflictions. Pray to God when you're having problems. Go to God in prayer often, and He'll help you to overcome those problems. In James 5, verse 13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." And so praying and singing psalms will help us to endure our problems and suffering in this life. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And he says, don't be anxious, don't worry about those things, but go to God in prayer, and you can have that peace of God that passeth understanding. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Do we sing the song, "Does He Care?" Yes, He cares. He cares for us. He loves us. When we suffer, He suffers with us. Other Christians can help us endure our problems. The encouragement of other Christians and fellowship with one another can help us to overcome our problems. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And so God comforts us, and we can help comfort our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, also the hope of eternal life helps us to endure the trials and tribulations and the problems of this life, knowing that there's a home waiting for us, a better home, a better life than this life. Romans 8, verse 16 through 18, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And so all the pain, all the suffering, all the hardships in this life, he says, are not worthy to be compared to that beautiful home in heaven for eternity. Yes, these things helps us to overcome our problems in this life. In conclusion, let us remember that God loves us. He cares for us. He'll help us to endure our problems. God allows us to suffer, and that it is for our good, for our well-being. We must put our faith and our trust in God. Let's not give up our faith in Him. You may have a dear loved one to die, but don't blame God. Satan is the one that caused man to sin and death in this world. We must not blame God for our troubles. God gave His Son to die on the cross in our place so that we can be saved and go home to heaven. Yes, Job said that man's life is short and full of troubles. Every day you're going to have some troubles. You're going to have some problems. But we can endure those problems. It should make us stronger and more faithful to the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're lost in sin, then you're separated from God, and you'll be cast into that lake of fire for eternity. God has provided a salvation for you. He gave His Son. You must have faith in God. You must repent of your sins. Turn away from your sins to God. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You come in contact with the blood of Christ in baptism. You're baptized into Christ. You put on Christ. And then be faithful, and heaven will be your home. And so if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?